This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 35, verse 10, and we're dealing with they're actually building the things that God told them to build as far as putting them in the tabernacle and making the tabernacle in the way God made it. Now you say, I thought they already built the tabernacle. They hadn't totally built the tabernacle. They built the tent. They'd set it up. And the tent of meeting existed. And remember, Moses took it outside the camp after they rebelled, after they built the golden calf. You've got Moses going out. He's meeting with God. The Shekinah glory of God is on Moses. And what they're doing now is they're actually following through and doing what God has told them to do as far as building this tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is a picture of the dwelling of God, the dwelling place for God. It's a picture of God dwelling with His people, among His people. And there is a tabernacle in heaven. There's a tabernacle in our hearts. There is the place where God dwells with His people. And it's important that you understand that's the principle that's going on. Whenever you're talking about the temple, whenever you're talking about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, you're talking about the place where God wants to dwell among His people, where literally, I believe, the Lord God, Jesus, was meeting with Moses in that tent and on that mountaintop. And as we study through it, it's important that you see that. Now, when we're studying this section, I think that you need to take a step back and take a long view of what's going on here so that you can get something out of it. And this is what I do sometimes when I'm studying the Bible. Obviously, if you want to know what each of these things represent, I love that word, accoutrements. It's got all the furnishings and all the furniture that make for a powerful, make for a grace-filled, make for a loving relationship with God. And so you've got all these things that make for that, and you want to look at them. Now, as a pastor, this passage is very important as far as a leadership, understanding leadership styles, understanding how God wants His kingdom to be built. Because if you'll notice, He says, all who are gifted, verse 10, artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So what's He say? All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Now, in our modern church culture, especially some of the newer mega churches, churches that are really large and really growing fast, they actually, if I had something that was really positive to say about them, this is what I would say about them. This is one of those things I would definitely say about them. They understand that one of the gifts of the Spirit is administration, and one of the understandings of how to build the kingdom of God is to involve as many people as possible. And that has to be done in a leadership structure that's biblical. But that being said, one person can only disciple so many people. One teacher can only teach so many. And when I say teach, more than just doing a Bible study like we're doing today or preaching on Sunday morning, but literally talking people through not only God's Word, but how that applies to the issues they find themselves dealing with in life. And so when we're discussing these things and when we're looking at them, there has to be an understanding leadership-wise that the leader is oftentimes in larger churches is oftentimes the figurehead. And when I say the figurehead, he's the face of the franchise, the one people look at. But the truth is that most of the kingdom building, in fact, 99% of the kingdom building, is done by people who are skilled and gifted by God to do great ministry. And understanding that giving people those opportunities, encouraging people to involve themselves in those opportunities, equipping people to do what God has called them to do, and encouraging them as they learn how to do it well or do it the best that they can. When in doing that and in studying and understanding that, it's a task, it's a chore. It requires a leader who's not inwardly focused, who doesn't want to have to necessarily have the limelight about everything, doesn't have to be up front all the time. Like I said, there are leaders who are in the face of the franchise and really, really are hands-on with everything. And then there's leaders who understand that I need to equip, I need to use the gifts that God has given me, and I need to allow others to use their gifts, and I need to help them. I need to provide the appropriate pastoral care so that it happens, but I can't do it all. And quite obviously won't be able to do it all. Jethro taught Moses that, and we've already been through that story where he came and said, you can't be judging every single issue in the whole camp all the time. It'll kill you. And he was right. It's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. And kingdom work doesn't work that way. Kingdom work is based off of relationships, and you just can't have but so many close personal relationships. And you can only have so many kingdom relationships. And you go, I thought we had a relationship, but we do. But each season of life, each time we go through life, you're going to find that as you go through life, you're going to have people that are discipling you. You're going to have people that you're walking through life with, and then you're going to have people that you're discipling. And as you go along, you're going to realize that the people who are discipling you oftentimes move on and your relationship with them decreases because you are feeding into the people who are walking alongside of you, and you are beginning to be a disciple maker yourself. And that can be in all kinds of areas. It doesn't have to be necessarily the big, what you think is the big stuff. And whatever you think is the big stuff, let me say this. It is big, but it's not any more important than the other big stuff. And you go, what are the other big stuff? Everything that's kingdom work is big stuff. All of it. All of it. There's nothing that you do out of faith in what God has revealed to you in his word and what he wants to do in your life. There's nothing that God is doing in your life that's not big stuff. There's nothing. And you can't say, God, just I'm a little old me. You're not a little old you. He paid the blood of Jesus for you. You are not a little old you. You are a big old kingdom part. You're a part of the kingdom. And your contributions to the kingdom in your very unique way, because remember, we bring a lot to the table. First of all, we bring all the things that we've experienced. Now, they are all limited. Every one of us have very limited experience because we haven't experienced everything. We haven't thought like everybody else. We have been where everybody else has been. We have limited experiences to us, but God has given us those experiences for a purpose. We bring to the table our just regular, common physical gifts and talents and skills, things that we just were born with. Things that we're good at and we're not good at. Some people are good at math. Some people are good at English. Some people are good at recess and or PE or lunch. And I don't want to point those out to you. You know who you are. But those are just the natural skills and talents. Some people are musically oriented. Some people are athletically oriented. Some people are, you know, I hate to say it, we're nerdy. Some people are very good at personal relationships. They're very social people. They're social butterflies. Those are just skills that you have. Those are things you bring to the table. And then you have the unique spiritual gifts that God has given us. And sometimes those are unimaginably different than what you thought you would get. You thought you'd be nerdy. You're nerdy and you're very, you think through things a whole lot. And so you ought to get the gift of administration, sit behind the scenes and order things up. And then all of a sudden, God gives you the gift of evangelism. And you're going, I don't like to talk to people. And then God says, it's too bad. I'm giving you this gift. And you know why he does it? He does it so that it'll round you off, so it'll make you perfectly who you are. And understanding that people have those giftings, people have those experiences, people have those talents or skills that they bring to the table is important. And understanding that they have a unique ministry in the kingdom of God, and they need to be about that ministry is really important. And you need to be about your ministry, figuring out what it is. Because listen, you're a gifted artisan. Every one of us is It's either or is. Every one of us is a gifted artisan. I know that's it. That's correct. Every one of us is a gifted artisan. We all have talents and gifts and skills that we need to be about using. We need to be getting involved in and using them and figuring them out. That's the main thing, is figuring them out. You can't be a great athlete unless you get on the field and practice a whole lot and figure it out. Can't be a great musician unless you pick up that instrument and play it. And play it over and over again until you figure it out. Can't be a great singer. You can't be able. No talent or gift or skill that you have will you be great at until you use it. Until you use it a lot. Until you get involved in using it. And the church has all kinds of opportunities and places for that to happen. Church has a, God has a biblical ministry structure in which he wants us to operate in. He has what we call pastors who are called to the gospel ministry. And so many times we get all focused on who's in charge, who's ahead, and sure, do we have to have leaders? Yeah, we got to have a leader. Everybody has to have a leader. But in our church, it's very unique. We have multiple leaders who are in charge, and you may say, you preach all the time. Yeah, I'm the teaching pastor, and Terry is the administrative pastor, and we have both of us doing that. But Pastor Jimmy's come on board in the last year, and he's associate pastor. He's one of us, and he's building those relationships. And each one of us have something that's very similar. We have a call to the ministry. We have ability to teach, and that's an important thing. And each one of us have a gifting in dealing with people individually and discipling them and encouraging them. That's the whole reason after Pastor Terry and I joined together to help start this church. We saw that in Pastor Jimmy, and there are actually a couple other people in our church who are definitely got that calling, and they're definitely building those relationships in our church, and will be pastoral ministry people down the road because they are beginning to invest in their gifts in what we've got going on. And as each one of us build more relationships, Pastor Jimmy's been here just only about a year, so he's in 3 or 4 years, way better at what he does because we all use our gifts, way better at what he's able to do in our church because he'll know more people, and more people will know him, just like Pastor Terry and I, who have been there from the beginning. And you go, that's not a hierarchy. That's not how our leadership structure works. Now, do you have to have someone who ultimately makes a final decision? Sure. And I won't tell you who that is. But we do talk through it and come to a consensus about it. And then you've got the elders, and the elders are supposed to be out there leading the ministry and helping to keep people together and making sure that we're in touch with each and every person in the church and have some kind of outlet for them, somebody for them to go to in their time of need. And then here's the key. Then you have all kinds of ministry leaders, people who are actually doing ministry out in the community, people who are leading ministries, have their own ministry that, you know, outside the church, what we call parachurch ministries. We've got at least a half dozen people who have their own parachurch ministries, who are serving God in a ministry that's not necessarily under the umbrella of a single church, but it's out there doing the ministry in the kingdom and connected to our church. And they're here in our church. They're working. And then you have people who are doing ministries in the church. And there's no ministry that's small. All of them are big. Some of them are leader ministries. Tanya has to lead the band. There's a whole lot of people with that. And then you've got people who are very skilled and have to, if you don't have people who can take care of the air conditioning when it breaks and the things like that, you don't have the skilled artisans required to be a church. And then you've got people who, children and youth and ladies and men and senior adults, and you're dealing with all that kind of stuff. And then all the food that we eat, and we remain close to our Baptist heritage about eating. We have great meals and great fellowship times with those things. And then before you know it, you begin to get down to the different areas that God is using people in ways that you don't even really know are going on. And if you're not investing, you're not finding out, you're not figuring it out, you miss out on it. And organizing and making sure that we have those people at meetings and doing ministry, those are all important. That's how the kingdom is built. And now we're putting on the layer of a robust youth ministry, and we've got one going, and then we've got small groups are headed down the road here in just a month or two. And before you know it, once the structure is built and the leadership is in place and people are working toward that, then we just begin to plug people in. We begin to help people find where their talents and skills and experience and spiritual gifts are useful. So you've got ministry leaders who in the Bible would be called the ministers, the deaconi. They're the ones who do the physical ministry of the church. You've got the spiritual leaders, the elders, the pastors. Then you've got people who are just doing what God's called them to do, and they're very unique in their field. And sure, are they under the leadership of everybody else? Yeah, but they got to do their job. And if they don't do their job, there's really nobody else can do it. And God sent them specifically for that purpose. And that's what's going on here in verses 11 through 19. He says, the tabernacle, its tents, its coverings, its clasps, its boards, its pillars, its sockets, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat and the veil and the covering, the table and its poles and all its utensils and showbread, also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps, its oil for the light, the incense altar, the poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screens for the doors and entrances of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings and the bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils and the laverns and the base, the hangings of the courts, its pillars, its sockets, the screens for the gates of the court, the pages of the the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs for the court and their cords, the garments of the ministry for the ministry in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his son to minister as priest. You think about that, is a lot of stuff that is going on. A lot of stuff that's going on. And each one of those little items has very deep spiritual significance and is important. And notice there's not one person that can do that. There's not even a small group of people that can do that. And anytime you've got a small church, then there's a small group of people that are doing it. But as the church grows, you have to have a free-flowing way for people to get involved and for people to be encouraged, to be equipped, and to be able to use their giftings, because if they don't use them, they don't feel a part of the kingdom. And we need to always be doing that and always be thinking of church that way. And that's the way God thinks about it. That's how God considers it. And that's what God wants us to have going on. And so when you are considering these things, you need to figure out, am I plugged into this? Am I one of those skilled artisans? If you're an artisan, are you skilled? If you're not, then we need to get you into a place where you can become skilled. And you need to consider, what was I made for in kingdom work? And then you need to get a part of doing that. That's whether you're part of Lake Community Church or whether you're part of a fellowship somewhere else. You need to get involved and be a part of that, because you are a uniquely gifted child of the King who has a purpose in his kingdom. I pray that you'll find that purpose. I pray that you'll seek it out and that you'll use the gifts and skills and spiritual gifts that God has given you to build the kingdom and to fulfill your purpose in that kingdom. As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.